quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to. Hi, I'm Michelle, a mother of two teens. 13 years ago, I traded in punishments and rewards for connection. Now I prioritize relationship over behaviors, utilize play as a parenting tool, and set limits with empathy instead of consequences. Each week, I share my journey and interview clients, experts, and followers. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle and I'm back again. And I have a guest. I put out on Instagram, hey, does anybody have a question? Does anybody have something they want to share? And lovely Shauna replied, and we're going to get into this topic today. I'm not going to reveal what it is yet, but first, Shauna's going to introduce herself. So Shauna, will you say hi to everybody?
Sure, yes. Hi, my name is Shauna. I live in Northern California. I'm a mom of three. I'm one in heaven, and my oldest is almost six, and my youngest is 1.5. And I'm a working mom, but mostly stay-at-home mom too.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. Well, let's talk about your unique situation because you lost your middle daughter. And how long ago was that?
It was almost actually 4 years ago. So we lost her due to a medical mistake at our local emergency room. And that coupled with her heart defect was just too much for her little body. And
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we've been through a lot as a family. And then when we got her gravestone is when we found out we were pregnant with Hunter, which is our 1.5-year-old. And so it's been a bit of a challenge because, you know, just parenting in general can be difficult, but being a bereaved parent, it adds another layer of, you know, heaviness and just questions and what should we do as parents?
Yeah, I can't imagine what you guys feel like as a family. That must have been really, really hard. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me, what did that do to your parenting?
I would say it made me or has made me a passive parent where I feel like anything goes because I don't want to add any negative layers on top of the grief and everything we already feel. And so I kind of took the approach of anything goes. Sure, like eat whatever you want, sit on the couch and eat. And, you know, not, it's not like lazy or sloppy parenting. There's a lot of love here, but it's more like, I would say no rules necessarily and no consequences, but also just no real structure to it, I would say.
It makes sense though. It's like, you know, your kids have been through so much, you've been through so much, especially your older daughter and to have to discipline in the traditional sense, somebody who's grieving does may not feel right. So that makes complete sense.
Right. And I just didn't want to add anything or any level of stress to her life or our life. And I really, I come from a place like a family of passive parenting already, really good parents, really sweet. And they said, we didn't need to discipline you. We just loved you and everything worked out. And then my husband is more from more like a stricter, like consequence chores. And like a, so we're trying to figure out like, how do we balance this with bereaved parenthood, different parenting styles and different way we were raised too.
We got a lot here. We got lot of different aspects coming in here. Well, let's talk about the three different kinds of parenting styles, right? We've got permissive parenting, and then you've got authoritative parenting, and then we have authoritarian parenting. And so your husband sounds like he's more of an authoritarian parent, I mean, authoritative parent, and you sound more like a passive parent. But what we want to get to is in this middle. But this middle is very ambiguous. Like some people would say, well, the middle includes lots of attention, but also consequences. Peace and parenting, connective parenting, respectful parenting, peaceful parenting. We all believe it's lots of connection, but without the punishments and the consequences. And, but can you have boundaries? And can you have limits? But do you have to enforce those limits and boundaries with punishments and consequences? Or do you enforce them with connection?
Right.
And so I think that's the thing that you guys are struggling with is like, where are our limits and boundaries and how do we manage them?
Right. That's very true. And I also think my daughter gets confused because she's in kindergarten and at her school, they enforce timeouts, like separation, timeouts and consequences, but they do it in reverse kind of. They have that. Plus they reinforce negative behavior with rewards. So she comes home and she's like, Mom, like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
All over the map.
Yeah. Interesting. My kids too have gone through different iterations of trying to understand school mm-hmm. because it isn't what we do at our house. And it's like, people are like, well, then they're going to get mixed messages. They're for sure going to get mixed messages. Mm-hmm. But what we want to make sure is that our home is the safest, kindest, right. most loving place, and that they can learn about those kinds of manipulations, consequences, whatever you want. They'll know about them. They know about them right away. They don't.
Right.
So this would be what I would say to your husband. Like, it isn't that your children don't know that consequences exist, mm-hmm. but do we want them in the most loving relationships that we have?
Right. That's an amazing point. Yeah.
Right. We don't need them at our home because mm-hmm. we want our children to trust us. And do you trust somebody who punishes you?
Right. No, I don't.
Right. Well, of course, you know, you were probably never punished, but do you trust the warden and the jailer and the jury and the judge?
Right.
Or do you need to have a safe place where you can be free to make a mistake?
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's so important.
Yeah. And I think the other piece is consequences and punishments really say, when you make a mistake, I'm going to give you a punitive measure.
Right. Okay.
But how about just saying, you made a mistake. Let's talk about it. Okay. Oh, you ate on the couch. What's happening here? You ate on the couch again? What's the rule in the house? Oh, you're not supposed to eat on the couch. Okay. Well, let's relocate here. Shall we really relocate? You want me to help you? I'm going to come over there. I'm going to get right in you. And I'm going to give you so many hugs until you move to the kitchen. You're going to get 17 hugs until you move to that kitchen. So now it's like, we're going to get the kid to go to the kitchen and get off that couch, but we're going to do it using connection as opposed to using consequences.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. Because I was wondering, like, you gave me a perfect example because I was wondering, how do you enforce that without saying, if you do this, you get this? You know, that makes a lot more sense to me.
Yeah. It's a discussion and it's our kids are going to make a lot of mistakes.
Right. Mistakes as a parent.
Of course, I make mistakes. We all do.
Yeah.
And so do we want our children to believe that they're bad when they make a mistake?
Not at all.
No.
Well, and I think it's important because I think what we've been doing, not on purpose, is it's kind of like good cop, bad cop. Like, so mom says it's okay. So mom, is it okay? And then dad says it's not okay. So dad's the meanie. And I don't want that. I want my kids to love him just as much as they love me and be as connected as him, as they are to me, you know, I don't want it to be like that either.
Well, I think then it's like, do we sit down and say, what really are the rules? Like, do we need 7,000 rules in our house?
Right.
You can't really enforce 7,000 rules. All you'll be doing is worrying about rules all the time.
Right. Yeah. That won't be good.
No, but when kids feel connected to their caregivers, they're more willing to cooperate.
That makes sense.
But when we're passive, they don't feel connected either.
Right. Which I didn't really realize until later as she's grown up. And she's an amazing kid. I volunteer in her class and I realize how good of a kid she is when I see the other kids in her class.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, really quiet and a good listener. And it doesn't mean she's not like that at home, but at school, she's perfect.
Yeah.
And then when she comes home, she tries the things she sees at school on us. Mm-hmm. And then my husband said, see, you know, she's not listening. She needs some type of consequence. Like, does she lose a toy or does she lose time in her playroom? Things like that. And so we've been like really conflict over, like, how do we do this?
Okay. So this is really good. This is a great point. Mm-hmm. So kids are at school and are well-behaved because they're scared.
Right.
She's too scared to make a mistake there because she doesn't want to endure the consequences and the punishments of school.
Right.
And she doesn't want to be publicly humiliated and embarrassed.
Right.
We don't have that power at our house, but thank God, because we don't want our kids to be scared at home to make mistakes or scared to act out or scared to have a voice or scared to do these things that you're having a hard time with her.
Right.
That's normal development. And she's not necessarily trying out the things that she sees at school. She's trying out the things she wants to try out that she's not allowed to do at school.
That's true.
But what are these things? Tell me some of the things I want to get in there.
So just to say though, just to back up a little bit, she's still at home, still an amazing kid. I mean, she's sweet. She's loving. She's, you know, loving to us. She's loving to her brother. But sometimes she'll say, like, I don't have to listen to you or stop telling me what to do all day. And like when she gets home.
I love her.
I think because all day she's being told what to do.
Well, do you want to be told all day what to do?
No, definitely not. No. So I understand where she's coming from. But I'm like, listen, I don't want to tell you what to do either. Some things were like safety measures, though. Like, I'm like, I can't let you sit on the table or I can't let you balance on a chair and reach on the top of the fridge. It's just not safe.
Right.
You know? And so she's like, no, you can't tell me what to do. And I'm like, listen, it's my job to keep you safe. I cannot have you fall off this chair. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really important to me. So just different things like that she'll test out, or just like running away when she's upset, which she's never done before. That's new. Mm. But one of her classmates runs out of the room and gets rewarded for it every day.
Rewarded, like, what do you mean?
Like, he sits in the backpacks. He runs out of the classroom because he's upset, sits in the backpacks, and then they're like, come in and I'll give you a pom-pom or a sticker.
But he's not rewarded for coming away. He's rewarded for coming back.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're bribing him.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really work. Which we don't want to get. We're having threats and bribes tomorrow, by the way, my thing. And so I'm deep in the threats and bribes.
I need to listen to that one too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come.
Yeah. So she'll do, though, is if she gets upset, then runs away and then comes back and says, well, what do you want to give me if I come back? Uh-huh. Like, which okay. I don't do the, like, no. You'll get this, but she's seeing that. So now she's like asking me, what do I get if I come back?
Okay, good. This is all good. Okay. Let's start with the dangerous ones, the getting on the chair and the getting on the table and stuff. I think we have to be very discerning what's actually dangerous and what isn't. So I would allow her to do as much as you possibly can without intervening and let her suffer a natural consequence that isn't going to put her in the hospital.
Right.
Like, is she on the chair and is she going to actually fall, or would she be okay?
I think off the table, she probably wouldn't fall and get hurt, but like balancing from a chair to get to that top of fridge, she could get hurt, like at least.
Or can you just say, instead of saying, no, you can't do that, can you say, here, honey, let me help you?
Yeah.
Here, let me help you get up there. It looks like this could be a little dangerous.
Yeah.
Let me help you do this. I think when she's doing dangerous thing, can you help her as opposed to getting upset with her?
Right. And you know, I don't really get upset necessarily. I usually just go, here, let me do it for you, which is not helpful either.
No, I think
she wants to do it.
How can you help her do it? Here, let's get the step stool. This is much safer. What measures can we take? Because she's six.
Almost.
Yeah. So she wants to do things for herself. She wants autonomy. And if she's that kind of kid, she's going to really crave that as you move through. And if you do everything for her, will that feel controlling because she's not able to start to learn to do things for herself? And are we making her reliant on you instead of capable?
Right. Well, and that makes sense because I was listening to one of your podcasts that kind of opened my eyes how you said, like, we need to be teaching our kids things, giving them the tools. So when they get older, they're able to do things themselves. And I thought I was doing that, but I guess I'm not, because like in the morning, getting ready for school, now that we have a younger baby, he's a year and a half, she wants me to pick out her clothes and dress her. And she's capable. She knows how to dress herself, but she wants me to do it because she sees me do it with him. And so we're kind of in a learning curve. And I guess because I have done the passive thing so long, she's probably confused by me. And I didn't even mean to.
Well, maybe not. Okay, let's keep that one for a minute. I want to get to the running away one, but then I want to get to this one too.
Okay.
We're hitting pause for a moment to thank our sponsors. These brands make sure you can listen to this podcast for free. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart features a patent protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their formula includes the most abundant protein, alpha-lac, found in breast milk, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula, which includes prebiotics,
and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio like an early breast milk, making it great for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula made with certified clean ingredients, including organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. What it doesn't have is soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast. Use code PEACE for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her responses or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I used mylifeinabook.com to compile my own stories to give to my daughters for Mother's Day. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code PEACE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code PEACE for 10% off today. Let's dive back in. So the running away one, I think when she runs away and she's upset, I would go with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because then she can't come back. She obviously wants to come back. Mm-hmm. She wants the connection. She wants to be near you. Or yeah. She wouldn't be saying, what are you going to give me to come back? So I would just, every time she's upset and runs away, I would just slowly walk after her and go to her room. And if she says, get out, I don't want to be with you, don't listen.
Right.
Stay, let her have the tantrum, let her be upset, or maybe she'll embrace you. Maybe she'll want you to be there. But either way, I think you don't want to leave a child who's upset alone.
Right. Which I try not to ever do. We don't do the timeouts or
great
separation or anything. I actually learned that from you.
Oh, yay.
But I try not to do that. And I don't want to be separated from her. Like, because of that layer of my parenting being a bereaved mom, I know how it feels to be separated from my daughter, not by choice.
Yeah.
And
so
other daughter and son, I don't want to be separated from them.
No, and she doesn't want that.
Either.
No. She doesn't want it. She's five and immature and doesn't know what else to do. And her feelings are overwhelming her. So she's running away from them.
Right, right. And we honestly didn't have any problems. Like, I wouldn't even call it a problem. She's not a problem child, but we didn't have really any of these issues until kindergarten was introduced and she started being bullied.
No.
And once that happened, it changed at home for us.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm looking online frantically, like, peace and parenting.
Yes.
That is how I found you.
Oh, I'm so glad you found me. Yeah,
but I didn't know why. Because, I mean, bereaved family, it's difficult enough, but we weren't having the issues until we introduced kindergarten and bullying and all that. And that's when we got at odds with, like, there has to be consequences and no listening.
Yes.
And it's not that me and my husband are like fighting about it. We just don't know.
Well, I think we all are at a loss. And the other thing I would say is like, what I would try to institute is my little one, Pia, she's 15 now, but the whole first year of school, so kindergarten, not preschool, but kindergarten, she came home totally dysregulated because it's hard to navigate 20 kids, two teachers, a principal, a playground, a lunchroom, a library, the people, the rules, the things of that. It's really hard.
They
come home with system restraint collapse. There's an episode on that if you want to
listen to that. Yeah.
So this could be part of that. This could be part of her own bereavement. This could be part of whatever she's dealing with as a little kid. I wouldn't view her behavior as there's anything wrong with her. I would view her behavior as that she's just having a hard time in that moment. That's kind of
how we have approached it. And, you know, we still approach it from a really loving aspect and include her in everything and just let her know, like, we're here for, for you. And like, after I listen to your episode, when I pick her up from school, I get in the car and I just say, how are you? I miss you. I used to say, what'd you do today? Blah, 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 blah. And you helped me realize I need to just say, hey, I love you. I missed you. How are you? Yeah. And that changed the last couple of weeks, just getting our ride home. She's not silent. She'll actually talk to me and tell me like how she's doing.
Amazing, Shauna. Amazing. I would add in now another layer. When she comes home, I would play with her immediately.
Yeah.
Wrestling, pillow, something big physical that she can get out her angst from school.
That's a good idea. Okay.
Pillow fighting, wrestling, chase, hide and seek, big, big motor skill movement play.
Okay.
I have a guide too that's in the link in my bio for anybody else who's out here. Now we can put it in the show notes too. It's a guide to play and there's 13 games in there.
Oh, okay.
There's all kinds of great games like King of the Rug. You know, everybody get on the rug and whoever gets pushed off the rug first is the loser. Whoever stays on the rug last is the winner. And you always lose and they always win. And I would do some games where she can be powerful and in control because she's feeling very overpowered at school. That's why she's saying, don't tell me what to do. You can't boss me around. Those kinds of things because she does feel controlled. So you want to give her control.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. And the other day, it was not a big motor activity, but the other day she was super excited because when we got home, I had set up to make banana bread and I let her be in charge. I let her be the masher, her be the scooper and everything. And she was really excited. And she goes, I remember last year when I got home from preschool, we used to do this stuff every day and I loved it.
That's so sweet.
So I thought, well, let's do more stuff like that. So yesterday we did watercolor and
Have you heard of special time yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so special time is that. It's 20 minutes of play, but they get to pick the activity.
Oh, okay, okay.
Every day.
I love that.
And you can do it with your son too.
Okay.
Every day. He won't be able to pick so much, but you can do like, you just follow his lead and follow him around and kind of play what he wants to play. Yeah, but you make sure that they get to be in control.
Okay, that's a really good idea. I know that would be helpful.
Yeah. So I think when we can do like the roughhousing kind of play where she's in control, give her some special time where she's in control. You can come to her when she's having a hard time as opposed to letting her go. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon you'll start seeing organic cooperation. You won't even have to worry about the consequences.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
She'll start to kind of dissipate. You'll be like, wait, we don't have to have 25,000 rules because she's just listening.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I know that with kids, it doesn't help to say, I'm going to take your favorite toy away because all that makes them think is you're just mean, really. They don't realize what that's for. Just you're super mean.
People really struggle with that, right? That's the main thing we use as our parenting method. Like if you don't do this, then you're not going to get that. Or if you do this, I'll give you that. Just like they're doing at school.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is what we've noticed and what research says is that the kid doesn't learn how to do the behavior, right? Like clean their room or whatever it is, they just learn that they have to do it in order to avoid the threat or bribe. So as soon as you take the threat or bribe away, the behavior goes away too.
Right.
We want organic, authentic cooperation. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have to pay our kids to take out the trash. We don't want to have to bribe our child to do their homework. We want them to do it because they're part of this house.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, because there are a lot of things like homework, for example, she loves it.
Great.
And like her and I, well, I am a bookworm too. I'm actually a college professor too. And so I'm with her and we just sit at the table and we just talk and we do stuff and we work. But it's not like a chore. Right. It's just like we just connect and we do it. And she's like, I want to do my homework.
So cute.
So we do that together and we love being together. Like yesterday we went on a field trip together and it was dinosaurs. Neither her or I love dinosaurs, but we just were together and she kept saying, Mom, I'm so glad that you're here, you know, holding my hand. And I hope that never goes away. You know, I love the connection that we have, but
it won't go away.
Just the whole like consequences thing. I didn't want to implement anything because I don't, I don't want to be hurtful to my kids in any way, and I don't want to be controlling.
No, I don't think you have to. I think if there's a limit you need to set, so there's two ways to set the limit. Like we said with the couch thing, like, hey, let me help you migrate over here. Like, yeah. You need me to bring your toast over here? Like, what's happening? That's a good way, right? We can be playful and kind and loving and helpful and do that. Or we can set the limit. Mm-hmm. You've got to go in the kitchen, honey. It's time to go in the kitchen. They might get upset and have a big upset. That's right. Okay. We let them have the upset.
Okay.
And we say, I understand. I know you don't want to go in the kitchen. This is really hard. You can have your cry. Let's get it out. Mm-hmm. But you got to go in the kitchen after that. You're going in the kitchen. So that's where a passive parent has the hard time, right?
Yeah. And that would be me because I'm like, oh, just this one time, or she's not feeling good. So I'm the weak link, I think.
Well, I think you both have your parts, right, that you want to bring to the parenting, right? We both have our, you know, our faults and our good attributes, and we want to be able to get them all out there so that everybody's, you know, living in that a better middle ground.
Yeah. And I want it to be just like it says on your, like your title, peace and parenting. Like I want a peaceful home because I just think it feels better to have a peaceful home. And both my husband and I are from divorce, like broken families that were not peaceful because of our step parents and everything. And we don't want that type of home. You know, this is our only marriage. This is our only family.
Yeah.
But we want it to be like connected and peaceful and sweet. And we want our kids to feel loved and connected to us. And we don't want to be like mean or.
No. You know, and right. The problem with the threats and the consequences and the bribes is that they really start to make you move away from your kid. It makes you feel hardened against them and them against us. And it causes resentment. So we keep it, like you said, we want it to be feel good and feel peaceful. My kids are 15 and 18. They haven't had a consequence in 13 years. They're lovely kids. They follow, Esme has the day off today, my oldest, she's 18. She got up, she cleaned her room on her own. She cleaned her fish tank on her own. She unloaded the dishwasher and then asked, do you want to have breakfast with me? She doesn't need a consequence. She doesn't need any of this stuff because she has connection.
I do love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you'll get there too. Shauna, you have so many great things in your parenting you're already doing. You're doing amazing. I think just adding in these extra connection layers and working on that piece, you're going to get yourself to an incredible level.
Okay. That's helpful. I appreciate that because I definitely don't want to do the consequences or any negativity involved.
Nah, we don't need it. We can do better than that. We're better than that.
I really appreciate the help, though. It does. Yeah,
I'm so glad. Well, Shauna, thank you for coming on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I so very much appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.